Well, good morning. It's great being with you this morning and listening to the history and the background of this building and the folks who had a vision to do something for the glory of God. It makes me feel quite young. Yeah. 130 plus, yeah. This morning, around about 4:30, I was listening to some music. I woke up and I thought there were some words of scripture going through my head. And in fact, one of the set readings for the first Sunday in Advent, words from Psalm 122. I was glad when they said to me, "Let's go to God's place." And then I thought of a song that is sung at the coronation of kings and queens in our United Kingdom. And it's these words, "I was glad." So I thought, I'm going to listen to that. So at 4:30 this morning, I was watching a video on my phone, a video of the coronation of King Charles and the song being sung as they processed through Westminster Abbey. "I was glad when they said to me, 'Let us go to the house of the Lord.'" Music was amazing, absolutely incredible. And I sat watching, listening, and trying to sing along. A great song of praise. It's Psalm 122 is one of 15 psalms for climbing stairs with. It is. That's how it's described. Songs of ascents. Songs for climbing with. Or songs for pilgrims climbing. These 15 psalms have been put together or were put together and were sung by people. Well, there are two suggestions. One is that these psalms were sung by people as they went up to Jerusalem to worship. And they would sing as they climbed. Jerusalem is on the top of a hill, and they have to go up. And the songs of climbing. Well, that's one theory. People sang as they climbed the hill up to Jerusalem. There is another theory put forward by others, and this theory is that the temple had 15 steps. Up to the temple, there were 15 steps, and on each step, you stopped and you sang a song, a hymn, one of the psalms. These 15 psalms, songs for climbing with. And sometimes it's a struggle to climb. Do you find that sometimes? Those of you of a certain vintage, I won't say about my age, but those of a certain vintage, and you've got to get upstairs. I had a wonderful trip upstairs. 3 weeks ago, I tripped on the landing at the top of the stairs and had a flying header at a paper shredder. And it was wonderful. Yeah. Well, there was blood everywhere, but apart from that, I landed on my knee, my elbow, and my head. A three-point landing. If I'd been involved in a skating competition, an ice skating competition, I would have had 7.8 for a triple salto and a forward roll. I didn't feel like singing just then. Singing songs of praise. And I was thinking about this place and the previous buildings that were here, the church buildings that were here, and the number of people singing songs of praise. The picture that we saw of the Sunday school, my goodness, hundreds and hundreds of young people, and they would have been singing praise. Let me read Psalm 122 in the New Living Translation. "I was glad when they said to me, 'Let's go to the house of the Lord.' And now here we are, standing inside your gates, O Jerusalem." Jerusalem is a well-built city. Its seamless walls cannot be breached. All the tribes of Israel, the Lord's people, make their pilgrimage here. They come to give thanks to the name of the Lord, as the law requires of Israel. Here stand the thrones where judgment is given, the thrones of the dynasty of David. Pray for peace in Jerusalem. May all who love this city prosper. Oh, Jerusalem, may there be peace within your walls and prosperity in your palaces. For the sake of my family and my friends, I will say, may you have peace. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek what is best for you, O Jerusalem. And I have in my mind an image of David, the songwriter, before he was king, when he was maybe just a shepherd boy or just after, going up to Jerusalem, singing, standing inside the city gates and looking around and seeing the wonder, the marvel of the city, and the place of worship in the center of the city, where people came to bring their praises and their prayers to Almighty God. Breathtaking. What kind of feelings do you have when you come to church? Oh, here we go again. Same old thing. We've sung these hymns before. We sang that song 2 weeks ago. Is there nothing new? Where are we going? What kind of feelings do you have when you come? Can you express what David says? I was glad when they said, let's go to God's place. Let's go to where we encounter the living presence of God. Now, I know God doesn't stay here in the building. He's here because we're here. I was glad when they said to me, let's go. Let's go to God's place. And David writing this song, and I say the other songs of climbing, songs of ascents, songs for pilgrims, songs for you and I as we move through these days of Advent. Sometimes Advent gets kind of overshadowed by Christmas. They're not the same, you know. They're different. Christmas is a celebration of the coming into our world of the Savior. We just sang about that. Emmanuel, God with us. And in a few weeks' time, we'll be celebrating that event where God himself stepped into our humanity and became one of us. That's history. Advent is something different. Advent is looking forward, not just to Christmas. Advent is looking forward to the establishing of a kingdom, God's kingdom. And a reminder, as we wait for the coming of the Savior, Jesus said he would come again. Angels said he'll come again. He'll come to judge. He'll come to set free. Advent is different from Christmas. And in the song, David talks about two or three things. Advent is a time of preparation, a time when we get ready for the King above all kings. And David in the psalm says, come with prayer. Pray for Jerusalem, the symbolic center of everything. The symbolic place where God was represented by the temple building. This place here has represented the presence of God for more than a century. And it will continue to do so in the coming weeks, months, and years, God willing. Be ready in prayer, David says. Pray. Pray for the community. Sometimes our prayers can be selfish, self-centered. Lord, bless me. Lord, bless me. Bless my family. Bless my children, my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren, my cousins. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Sometimes we rush in our prayers. We come into God's presence, forgetting that prayer is a conversation. It's two-way. Us talking to God and us listening to his response. Sometimes in the Methodist service book and other service books, there's a little line that says, a silence may be kept. We don't do much silence. We fill it with noise and all sorts of stuff, not just here in this building, but we're inundated with noise. They talk about noise pollution. And God wants us to listen, to take time, to hear what he's saying to us, not so much what we are saying to him. So David says, be ready in prayer. As we wait for the kingdom to be established in all its fullness, be ready in prayer. And the challenge for us, the challenge for me, is I can spend so much time watching the news or reading newspapers or magazines. I can spend a lot of time watching sport or going to games, going to football or whatever. And I don't take time so much to pray. Be ready, David says. Be ready in your prayer life. He goes on to say, be ready in peace. What was it Jesus said? Blessed are the peacemakers. There's a lot of people who are disturbing the peace. You only need to go on social media or to watch television news and other programs to discover that. People are stirring it up. Stirring things up by telling half-truth or giving half the story, maybe not even half the story, and causing distress and disturbance. We are called to be people of peace. What was it Jesus said to his followers? My peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I may have told you before, I'm sure I have, that when our children were young, and when they were in their early teens, I guess, maybe even before that, Helen would come and stand at the bottom of the stairs, and she would call up Helen, my late wife. She would call up the stairs to the three boys. David, believing that he was the next Eric Clapton, playing his guitar, amplified, loud, wow, 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 wow. Alan, listening to his music with the volume turned up. Amy Grant, every time, one of his favorite singers. Oh, Alan, shh. And William, our youngest, why on earth did we ever get him that drum set? And Helen would come to the bottom of the stairs and she would call gently upstairs. Give me a bit of peace. Give me a bit of peace. The absence of noise. That's not what Jesus was talking about. The word shalom, peace, is translated peace. But it's also translated completeness. My completeness I give to you. He makes us complete. And he gives us the completeness of his love, his care, his kindness, his compassion. David, the songwriter, says, be ready to make peace. Be ready to bring peace. Be ready to be peace. And in our generation, in our time, the world, our neighbors, our community, is looking for a sense of peace, completeness. And Jesus calls us to deliver that peace in our lives and in our attitudes. I couldn't think of a word beginning with P for the third point. Be ready in prayer. Be ready in peace. Be ready in practical terms. Be ready in practical terms to go to our world, to support those who are struggling, to work alongside those who feel sidelined, to be compassionate and kind and caring, selfless. Oh, that's difficult. To be selfless. Because I know I think a lot about myself a lot of the time. But David and Jesus echoed David's word about you go to your world to make peace, to look out for those who are marginalized, those who are sidelined, not to walk by. Jesus told a story about people who passed by someone who'd been injured, who'd been beaten up. Remember? And he calls us to stop and to care. We heard about people over a century ago who wanted to build a place where God would be honored and people could worship and praise him. They were people of vision. Vision for their times and the future. And as we move into and through this season of Advent, can I ask you, what's your vision for the days ahead? Not just the leaders, not just the stewards, not just the church leadership team or the circuit leadership team, but you, me, as individuals. What's our vision for the days ahead? In 100 years' time, will people be looking back and talking about you and me here in this place? People of vision, reaching out into the community, doing something new and fresh, following Jesus. I'm reminded, and I probably have reminded you in the past as well, that the word Advent is the first part of the word adventure. Oh, adventures? I love adventures. I love discovering new things, meeting new people, taking risks of faith to see the kingdom of God established and growing in the days ahead. An adventure. Here, as Mike said earlier, here we have a new adventure beginning next week with the folks coming to be part of this new fellowship. And I've got to be careful. What is happening next week is not Himley Road. It's a new thing. Maybe we've still got to find a new name for it yet. I'm not sure. But people from Five Ways will be coming to be part of the new enlarged fellowship that we'll be meeting here in this building. An adventure for all of us. Something new, something different. What's your vision for the future that includes or has included the folk from Zohar and Tipton Street years ago and now Five Ways? This new emerging adventure of faith. Oh yes, there'll be adjustments on all sides, I guess. A vision for the future. A vision of God. Just as David went into Jerusalem and looked around and saw this amazing sight. And then from the gates of Jerusalem, looking outwards to the land, the countryside all around. And in the distance, there's the Mediterranean. And lands beyond that David could never even have dreamt of. He wasn't just looking inwards to Jerusalem, to the possibility of building a temple. He wanted to build a temple building, a place of worship. And God says, it's not for you, son. Not for you, son. Solomon will do that later. He'll build a temple. But David had in mind a vision of God and God's presence, not just in Jerusalem, but outwards. Jesus had the same vision when he spoke to his followers and said, you go to your world, Jerusalem, Samaria, Judea, to the ends of the earth. In this Advent season, I wonder where God is going to take you. I wonder where he's going to take me. Not just to Christmas, but in a new vision of God at work in us, through us, outwards to the wider world. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek what is best. What's God's best for you and me? Only God knows, but we can discover it in this season of Advent.